Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bendale.
That'd be really weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, well, guess what? Just go to one of our great steakhouses or burger joints all over the state of Mississippi. Wherever you go, whatever you want to eat, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. We're getting closer and closer to the holidays. You got to get stuff for your family and friends. Make a trip to College Corner for everything maroon and white. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. A dinner at Restaurant Tyler is the special event you have been looking for. You don't have to have a special reason to go eat at Restaurant Tyler. That dinner is the special reason, and everybody's going to be excited when they hear it. If you tell your significant other, hey, we're going to dinner tonight at Restaurant Tyler, buddy, they're going to be happy. At least I know I would be. And I know that Robbie would be as well. And Robbie is probably going to be getting a meal out of me at Restaurant Tyler in the near future if I can't get ahead of him in this pick-up contest. But we shall.
I'm not conceding anything. We're just going to let this Robbie thing play
said
out.
The
I'm
other
not
day,
bragging. I'm not
he
doing
said
anything.
Yesterday he had already been looking at the menu and was figuring out what he was going
to
order.
Stop trying to put that in the universe. I have not. But it would probably be a ribeye steak and mashed potatoes.
There you go.
With some fried okra.
Uh-huh.
And maybe post meal we'll have some cheesecake or stuffed pancake.
Perhaps
I'm just saying. Hypothetically.
Yeah.
Hypothetical. 100%. If I was eating a dinner at Restaurant Tyler, that's what it would be.
All right. Well, you can have a delicious hypothetical dinner of your own the next time you are at Restaurant Tyler. You can have a real one too. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you. Not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the people at Priority One Bank, a bank that's going to treat you with respect, that's going to have a relationship with you, not just your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a great interview a little later. Nobody loves college basketball as much as our guy, Isaac Trotter of 24/7 Sports. We talk in-depth about the SEC and Mississippi State basketball. We're getting closer and closer to tip-off. Next week we'll do maybe on Monday or Tuesday or something, we'll do a full hoops preview for this team. But let's start here, Robbie. Mississippi State, Arkansas. I was thinking about this today. My super simple formula I like to use for picking games that I think are toss-ups came into play. Better coach, better quarterback, who's the home team, right? Buddy, Arkansas to me has all three of those. And so it got me thinking about this game because as we sit here today, if today was prediction day, I think I'd pick State to win. And I was asking myself why. Why am I doing that? Now I've watched Arkansas play. They're not a good team. Mississippi State is a better football team than Arkansas, top to bottom, in my opinion. But I feel like, and this sounds kind of funny, right? Because they don't have any good wins, but at least Petrino in his career has. So maybe that's weighing on me.
Been a while, though.
It has been a while. Here's my question. If State wins this game, then you're going to move forward with Jeff Lebby, and you're going to look at the rest of the schedule and go, man, with Missouri with no Pribula, you can win that game, and the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss is not this juggernaut that can't be beat. You could find a way to spoil their season, maybe. If you lose this game, though, it becomes, what are we doing? Because you're going to be an underdog the rest of the way. You're looking at starting your career off 0-16 in the SEC. Not a lot of coaches would even get us a third bite of the apple. Lebby will, I think, because the team is at least improved, but the record isn't that much better. What does this game mean for Jeff Lebby's legacy, tenure, whatever you want to put it, at Mississippi State?
It does kind of feel like a true crossroads moment, and I like it's one of those, like, you're teetering on the edge one way or the other. You win this game, and I feel like most people at that point could talk themselves into Jeff Lebby being the guy here.
Right.
That at that point you step away from the ledge a little bit, and you start to turn around and go the other direction. I think that people, for the most part, would feel that way. There are people that are going to dig their heels in. They don't believe in Jeff Lebby, and they aren't going to be back regardless of what happens in this game. But I think a large part of this fan base would be on board with Jeff Lebby if he wins. If you lose, you've jumped off the ledge at that point. You have virtually no support from the vast majority of this fan base. You might have some people that give money that are still locked in, but as far as people come to the games, you're going to have a lot of empty seats at Davis Wade Stadium for the Georgia game. It's probably going to be closer to 50-50, you know, red and black and maroon and white at that point next week. It really does feel like it's that drastic, like on both sides of the coin. Like, it's kind of crazy. I think that people would talk themselves into Mississippi State being bowl eligible if they win this game, and quite possibly winning two out of the next three. I think that a lot of people could talk themselves into that. You just mentioned Missouri being a possibility, Ole Miss being the Egg Bowl being a possibility. At that point, I think people would start to lean that more that direction than Jeff Lebby isn't the guy. But if he loses this, you don't see a path to bowl eligibility this year. At that point, you're looking more into an 0-16 start in league play. You can't find a way to sneak in a win in 16 games. Mm-hmm. That is, buddy, that's going to be tough selling to this fan base. Yeah. Season ticket sales would be worse than this year for next season. Convincing guys to come out of the transfer portal is going to be tough. Convincing people to even give money to that is going to be tough. This feels like an absolute must win. I'm not a big fan of hyperbole. I've used it some. I said after the Arizona State game, Jeff Lebby absolutely was the guy. I fully believed that. I still, in many respects, believe that. I feel like he's just still trying to figure out how to win. But if he doesn't win this, it's going to be very difficult for people to continue to support his program. It just is. Like, people are just going to decide, I'm not going to spend my time watching and supporting Mississippi State football until we win. Right. And with a guy that would be 0-13 in league play, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to find those wins. So this is an absolutely massive game for his legacy here, for his job here. I don't know if he'll be let go if he goes 0-16 in his first two seasons. I lean towards no, but it would be very difficult to continue to have support from this fan base if he can't win this game and then find a way to win another one, probably in the last three.
The other side of that coin is what happens if he wins. And it's kind of funny. I feel like if he wins, it's like somebody snaps their fingers and all the problems just go away. Like, immediately it becomes, Mississippi State fans start thinking, okay, we can get one more. We can go to a bowl. Can we win the Egg Bowl? We could do that at home. That could happen. I feel like everybody, almost everybody, it's kind of what you just said. Like, if he loses, there'll be some people who hold on. If he wins, there will be some people who hold on to the idea that Lebby can't get the job done.
And that's, we know several of them.
And we know on both sides.
Yes.
But I feel, for me anyway, once he wins that first game, it's like it's It's almost the Arizona State game had some of this too, right? There was that cathartic nature to it, like, okay, it's going to be all right. I feel like once he gets this win, and he's had three great opportunities, and absolutely he should have gotten at least one, if not all three of them. But once he wins a game, and if he can win this weekend, it just becomes looking ahead to the future with a lot more positive slant to things. I don't remember a game for a coach like this. Like, I was thinking about Mullen's second year. And, I guess the Georgia game that year could have been something like that, but they had lost to Auburn, who we knew they had Cam Newton. We didn't know they were going to win the national title, but we knew that was a really good team. They had lost at LSU, where, I mean, Mississippi State had not won in Tiger Stadium at that point since 1991. So I don't think there was as much into this Georgia game, but you knew that Georgia team wasn't great, and you wanted to be able to beat them. And once he beat them, the season got off and running, and they finished, 9-4 in the top 15 in the country. I feel like this game has some similarities to that. And we've been talking about some similarities with Mullen and Lebby, and maybe we're trying to find common ground. Maybe we're trying to do that for our own sanity. I don't know, but it does feel like this game, one way or the other, Mississippi State's going to know what it has with Jeff Lebby at the end of this game.
Yeah, and if you can convince these kids some of them are kids, a lot of them are adults at this point, but if you can convince these players to continue to come out and play hard after the first four SEC games that we've watched and the way that they've lost the last 2 weeks, if you can continue to convince those guys to play hard for you, then you've got to put stock in that if you're a Mississippi State fan, especially if they win the game. A coach has lost 12 consecutive conference games. He's won 6 games in 2 years. And yet his team believes every single week they can go beat the other team. And for large chunks of the ball game, it looks like they're going to. That has to hold some weight in your thought process. That at least, at the very least, the program is in really good shape from a health standpoint of believing the locker room is strong, all that stuff. And all that is great too, but you have to win. It doesn't heal anyone this weekend if you go up there and you play hard and Arkansas plays hard and they find a way to win and you don't. That doesn't help anything. At 2-6, regardless if this game's on the road or not, regardless of where Arkansas ranks offensively, whatever, State has got to beat that team. They're 2-6. They're 0-4 in the league. They have an interim head coach who, if he can't find a way to win a game, is probably not going to be hired. And he might not be hired there anyways. You got to go find a way to win this game. You should have beat a top 25 team in Tennessee. You should have beat a top 25 team in Texas. Florida was a very talented team, and you're playing on the road, and you should have won that ball game. All three of those games were lost by what you did and not necessarily what the other team did. Those teams, to me, are better, more talented teams than Arkansas.
For sure.
State should beat that team. There should be no excuses made as to why Mississippi State lost a game at Arkansas. And I hate to, my friend Danny West, who I worked with at 247, said a few years ago, Arkansas should never lose to a team from Mississippi. I'm not going to use that here. Mississippi
Hasn't been a
State
good
can
run
lose to
for him.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
But this year, the way these two teams are built, Mississippi State should win this game. They should win this game.
I
There
also.
are no excuses. I'm putting that stamp right now. If Mississippi State loses this game, we are not making any excuses.
No. I also
It's
think about it.
win or bust.
It's better than Auburn, too, who just went to Arkansas and won, in
A
my
better
opinion.
offensive team for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And defensively, I mean.
Now, I think Auburn could hold their own on defense, but State just scored 38 points against a top five defense.
Yeah.
So they should score on Arkansas, on Auburn.
Arkansas is the worst defense in the conference by a country mile. And they're not as bad as State was last year, but they're still really, really bad. So this is definitely a game where State should be able to roll up offense. State defensively this year has been really good outside of the fourth quarter. But it shouldn't. It should. You're, I'm. I agree with you 100%. That, like, there's no excuses at this point. It's you win this game or You have to ask the question. You have to ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Because
Like, is this, is, can this work? I
yeah,
mean,
as I sit here today, I think State's going to win. Like my prediction would be for State to win. I'll make my official prediction tomorrow. But there definitely isn't a reason to lose this game. Now, I would go on the record and tell you that I didn't think there was a reason to lose to Florida. You're playing a lame duck coach. His own fans were chanting to get him out of there. You had every opportunity in the world, and you blew it. There's just no question about that.
especially when we saw Florida, like I know they put up some yards, they had a good game for the running back, but like DJ Lagway did not do anything special in that game. And their defensive secondary was so bad. State had no business not running up 35 plus in that game, and they couldn't do it. So until they do it, it's hard to have a lot of trust in them that they can go on the road and win a ball game in the SEC and even win it at home. If this game was at home, though, I would feel fairly confident. I wouldn't feel great just because they hadn't done it, but I'd feel fairly
You'd
confident.
be as confident as you could be.
Yeah, that they could win this game and win it by double digits. But it's on the road, and last year, I know this isn't last year's team, but you couldn't stop a nosebleed last year against Arkansas. Like defending Taylen Green was frustrating at the very least. But this year's defense should be capable of at least getting off the field. And offensively, especially the way that Arkansas defends the run, you should be able to move the football and score fairly easily. And if they can't do that stuff, you got some big problems. I think we already have problems, but you got even bigger problems.
The home road splits for the offense are interesting. At home in two SEC games, State has scored 71 points, and in the two road games, they've scored 30. And now,
Yeah.
granted, one of those road games is against the best team in the conference, but defensively, Tennessee is good, Texas is very good, and you've been able to move the football on them. So it's an interesting balance here of you're on the road, but you're facing the worst defense in the conference. What are you? So yeah. And then on the other
And
side
like
of it.
I really feel like that atmosphere is going to be similar to that one in 2023. Like
Yeah.
I think that their fans are
They're as
probably
out as they
off the
can be.
bandwagon even more than state fans.
Yeah.
A lot more than state fans. Because we saw a great atmosphere last week. Like I don't, if you look at theirs, there's a lot of empty seats out there in Arkansas. Like I just think they're just kind of like done. So you got to take advantage of that. Because I don't think it's going to be a great, raucous crowd. You got to take advantage of it.
Right. You almost wish this game was at 11 a.m.
Yeah. If it was
This
at
game.
11 a.m., you'd feel even better.
Yeah, as it is a little later in the day, give the crowd a chance to get some atmosphere going.
I
But
really don't know what to expect, Brian. I have no clue what to expect.
and the other thing is, let's just play out what happened last week, right? Let's say State, if State's up 31-14 going into the fourth quarter of this game, that's an empty stadium you're playing in.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there. So you have that working for you. Well, there's a lot working in State's favor here if they can just do what they've done pretty much all year, which is come out, get the early lead, and just put some points on the board. They're going to be fine. But if they let our Arkansas dilly around, it's gonna be a problem. And then we're going to be having hard conversations about Jeff Lebby. So I just, like I said, I don't remember. This is his 21st game as Mississippi State's head coach, I believe. I don't ever remember a coach this early in their tenure where you're just like, this game is going to say what he is. And, with
I
Kroon,
feel like we knew with Arnett pretty quick.
yeah, but that's a different scenario, in my opinion.
A little different,
A little
but we
different.
did by the middle of the season, we were kind of like, it's not
No.
gonna
Well,
work. It's it.
as soon as we saw Andy Staples say Arnett, I was like, what? Yeah, we knew
Yeah,
at that point.
the old
Contrary
we
to
don't
some
do
other
business
people's
that way
reports. Yeah.
conversation.
Yes. Yeah. We were a part of the group text. So anyway, we'll talk more about this game in more detail tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Jackson Fuller of the Southwest Times Record will join us, and we'll get his perspective from the other side of things and see what he thinks about this game between Mississippi State and Arkansas. All right, let's move into some hoops. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. I haven't been to either one of those restaurants the last couple of weeks, Robbie. If I'm just saying, tomorrow you're going to be here because you're going to be hosting a Sports Talk Mississippi. Perhaps you and I could go dine at one of those two restaurants.
Perhaps.
Oh, we got the beard stroke. Very good. Very good.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Very good. I like that. We will we'll talk about that more tomorrow. But if you're going to be around for lunch in the Cotton District, man, two great choices right next door to each other. What do you want to eat? Do you want to have that fancy sandwich, or do you want to enjoy the smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats? You can't go wrong with your choice at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Hey, brother.
When you need when you need technology, all right, watch out. All right.
Put your 3D glasses
Yeah,
on.
you scare children doing that. Don't do that. When you need technology for your business, I don't want to look. Call Advantage Business Systems today. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. When you need technology for your business, he just wants to do it. It's happening. Look, he's. That's enough. I got to get through this. These people
Got
pay
these from
money
the
for our
Ellis side
equipment.
of the family.
All right. Anyway, if you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service on something they've sold you, guess what? Same number, same people. You already know them. You're not talking about making an appointment with somebody who's going to take a week to 10 days to get out there. Imagine if your copier broke and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll be there in a week. How does that work? Get the service you can rely on at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you're looking for Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. Nobody with a bigger or better selection of Mississippi State gear than the good people over at Maroon & Co. They've got it all, and they are ready for the holidays. They've got everything Mississippi State that you want to put under the tree this Christmas. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price on everything maroon and white. You can use that in store or online at maroonandco.com. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium, you need to go to Maroon and Co. We're running out of days to mow grass. We're getting to that point in the season where the year is getting colder. It's cold outside today. That
Little
doesn't
chilly.
mean you can go ahead and start preparing for next year. And Christmas is coming up. I don't think you can put a John Deere commercial mower under the tree unless you got a really big house. But you can always put it outside. Put a big bow on it, You see those commercials with like the Lexus and everything? No. Put a John Deere commercial mower out there. Put a bow on that. Merry Christmas to you, is what I would say. If you want to have a John Deere green Christmas, I'm saying it. Go ahead. No? Okay.
On a hot summer night.
It'd be like on a cold winter night at this point, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, well, either way. Go see my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Great financing available as low as 0% for up to 60 months in some cases. Whatever you're looking for, that's John Deere green, commercial mowers, Gators, compact tractors, they've got it and they've got great deals for you. Head over to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner, doesn't matter if it's 100 acres or a few thousand acres, if you need help managing your land and your timber, Good Hope Land and Timber is here for you. Years of experience, a fully trained, fully certified team of experts, guys who have been doing it for a long, long time. They can help you manage your property and keep it looking the way you want it to. So if you are a landowner or if you're looking to become a landowner, Good Hope Land and Timber is here for you. Locally trusted, landowner approved. Call Good Hope Land and Timber today. Earlier today, I talked to our friend Isaac Trotter, college basketball analyst for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports, a man with a real passion for the game of college basketball. And I think it really comes across in this interview. As you know, all interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, you know, Christmas time, the winter, it's cold outside, the seasonal things are happening. You need to make sure your body is right. And that's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. They are the experts in recovery. You go outside for a run, it's cold, you get back in, the body is stiff. Head over to Alora Modern Wellness, warm yourself up, or get even colder in the cryotherapy chamber. That's where you might find me when I'm at Alora Modern Wellness. Makes me feel a lot better. I always feel better when I walk out than when I walked in. They are the experts in recovery here in Starkville, and they have a number of services available. AloraModernWellness.com is the website. You can check everything out there. You can even book your appointment right there online. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Isaac Trotter of 24/7 Sports. It is almost time for tip-off around the country. Isaac Trotter joins us now, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, the college basketball guru we love here on Thunder and Lightning. And Isaac, we'll start with the big picture. Last year was such a historic year for the SEC, as good as a conference has ever been, top to bottom, in the history of this great sport. It has to take a small step back this year, doesn't it? I'm not saying they're going to be dropping off the face of the earth, but they can't be as good as they were top to bottom last year, can they?
I'm right there with you. I just think it's natural for a little regression to pop in. You know, 26 of the top 30 scorers from the SEC have departed. So that's the biggest number of all of the high major leagues. So there's a lot of fresh faces in here. Obviously, the buying power in the SEC is nuts, right? Like they've been able to really put together some great rosters in free agency, both in the international market and the transfer portal and the high school recruiting. Like you see all of that, but I think there's going to be a little drawback, a little bit this year, just with so many new teams, like having so many new faces, right? Like there's just a lot of newcomers here, and that raises some kind of risk in the portfolio, so to speak.
You mentioned the international thing, and I asked Chris Jans about this a few weeks ago when I talked to him, but he's got a Serbian guy on the roster. There's a French guy in Oxford at Ole Miss. There's a few other internationals around the SEC. Is this a new trend? Are we going to start seeing more and more of this international flavor on these rosters?
I think so. I think we're up to 70 right now at the high major ranks just alone. It's kind of like one-ish per team. Now, certain teams are more connected overseas than others. I think a team like Illinois, I think they have five Balkans on the roster. So it's a little different. But yes, I think it's going to be a big deal. Now, just part of it's just money. A lot of those guys over there, they're making 50, 60, 70K. A college basketball team that comes in being like, "Hey, we'll give you 350K to come play basketball." That's pretty attractive. So it's a new market that teams are trying to tap into. I'm curious to see how it kind of coalesces. I don't think the star power will be quite as high as it was last year. I don't think you're going to see like an Yegor Demin or Kasperi Shakushonis who are first round picks from the international market. But I think there's a lot of really good players that will come over and be impactful role players. And it's certainly, you know, I think it raises the talent level throughout the sport when you have another influx of like, hey, these guys are pros. A lot of them have played a lot of pro basketball for a while, and that's making college basketball even more watchable, I think, this year.
The big news in the SEC this year, obviously, is the departure of Bruce Pearl to retirement, politics, who knows where he's going to end up. And of course, his son taking over. Never been a head coach before, only really ever worked for his father. I feel like that's a huge step for a program that's been so good. What do we think about the Auburn Tigers this year?
I think they're going to take a smidge step back. You know, I think they're talented. They're really talented, but the rim defense was like their calling card last year. Anybody who played Auburn was like, "Man, Dylan Cardwell is just enormous." And man, Jahni Broome is just enormous as well. This year's team, I think they're not quite as big inside. A lot of State fans know that Keyshawn Murphy is now their interior type of rim protector. He's a good defensive big man, but he is not quite as like thick as Cardwell and Broome. So I think their interior defense is going to come back to earth a little bit. And I think their profile is a little bit volatile. Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy and Todd Pettiford, those are talented players, but they can have some high highs and some low lows. I feel like Auburn has the pieces to make the NCAA tournament. And if they do, that's a win. I do not expect them to be an SEC contender. Like if it's late in February and they're within a game or two of first place, I'd be surprised in this league.
What about the defending national champions, the Florida Gators? That was a team. Last year, it felt like they were kind of under the radar as much as you can be, being that good. But everybody was focused on Auburn, maybe some focus on Alabama. And then, boom, when the postseason came, they were the best team.
Totally with you. They kind of came out of nowhere late. That's really, really awesome front court. They're going to play a little different this year. Thomas Hauck is going to actually move to play the three. So they'll have Hauck and Alex Condon and Ruben Chinyelu on the floor together. I think their interior defense is going to be phenomenal. It really comes down to the guard play. And Xavien Lee and Boogie Fland are two guys that they've gotten from the portal. Both of them are like high usage guys that don't turn the basketball over. And for, Todd Golden's like big on math, right? High usage guards that don't turn the basketball over and create their own shot are kind of like his cheat code. That's what he's all about. If those guys, I think Boogie, especially the transfer from Arkansas, if he has a big year, I think Florida is certainly going to be in the mix to win the league. Everybody has picked them to win the league. I'm a little bit lower on them than consensus. I think Kentucky's the best team in the league, but Florida is certainly right in the mix there, and I think they have the pieces to go on another run.
So why do you think Kentucky's the best team then?
They come at you in waves. When you have $22 million to build a roster, that certainly does not hurt either,
There's some
right?
football teams that would like to have 22 million, yeah.
I am right there with you, but this team is way more athletic than they were a year ago. Last year, when you watched Kentucky, they were slow, they're old, they played well, but like they weren't really like twitchy. This group is way more athletic, and I think you put really good athletes in a scheme like Mark Pope that's big on cutting and passing and ball movement. I think that's a really good recipe for a successful offense. And then you toss in the defensive upside. This group will play way more defense than Kentucky has in the past. Otega always one of the best wing defenders in college basketball. Jaden Quaintance, when he gets healthy, is an unbelievable interior defender. Mo Diabate, the transfer from Alabama, one of my favorite forward defenders in all of college basketball. So they need to get Jalen Lowe healthy, the transfer from Pitt, who's going to play point guard. But this group, they got like 13 dudes who can play. I think Mark Pope finds the right combinations there. And with all this added athleticism, they're going to be the best team in the SEC, in my opinion.
Who's the surprise team in the conference this year, be it good or bad?
I look at Ole Miss. I have no idea what to do with them. That's a group that a very new look team. AJ Storr is coming in after a rough year at Kansas, but like he's kind of like that every other year type of player. I could see him having a really good year at Ole Miss, but like there's no Sean Padula anymore. There's no Jamin Brakefield, who's a really nice player for them. Matt Morrell's gone. Like what? I have no idea what to do with them. They're like one of those teams I've stuck in the middle, and I'm just hoping and praying I potentially get it right with some of my predictions with them. And again, like we talked about earlier with the international stuff, Ilias Kamardine, the international product, is going to have a very, very big say in whether they're good or whether they're great. That's an Ole Miss team that I think could easily challenge for top five in the league. And then I also would not be stunned at all if it's on Selection Sunday and Ole Miss isn't even on the bubble.
Wow. Who's the newcomer in the conference that you're the most excited to see?
Boy, this could go a lot of different directions. Boogie Fland is obviously one that like he's been in the league for a little bit, so he probably doesn't count. The thing that I kind of like what Vanderbilt has done, they're a really interesting roster that the way that they've built this team. And Jalen Washington is a kid from North Carolina that was a very hyped prospect that really hasn't done much throughout his career. I could see him heading to Vanderbilt and really being a pleasant surprise. But, again, with Auburn, I think Auburn's going to be incredibly watchable this year. And Keyshawn Hall, their forward there, is probably the best newcomer. He big, strong, physical, 19 a game last year at UCF. He's just a walking bucket, and he'll score at all three levels. I could see a scenario where he challenges Josh Hubbard to for the SEC scoring title.
Let's bring it into Mississippi State now. And obviously you just mentioned Hubbard. You said, what was it, the 24? How many of the top scorers were gone?
26 of the top 30.
Well, I know one that's back, and that's Josh Hubbard. And I asked Chris Jans this a few weeks ago. I'll ask you now. What does Josh Hubbard need to add to his game for Mississippi State to take that next step to finish top half of the SEC and be a team that can win a tournament game or two?
For me, it really comes down to like the playmaking, like how he can really scan the floor and make others better. I think he walks on the floor as like a score first type of guy. And I think to reach the peak of their powers, he has to be someone that opposing defenses are scared about because he could get other guys involved too as well. He's really talented. And I kind of think Mississippi State's on the verge of playing slightly differently this year, maybe slowing the pace down a little bit more, maybe trying to grind teams out
I think
defensively
they're
with
going to look more like they looked the first 2 years under Jans.
right there with you, Brian. And I think that's going to make every possession matter so much more for this offense. And so Hubbard making those right decisions as a scorer, and then also like kind of mixing in some extra playmaking. If he can be a low turnover rate guy and a high like assist rate guy, along with the influx of buckets that we've known from him, he could be the SEC player of the year.
I think State's biggest problem a year ago was their interior defense. Teams could just get to the rim against them, and they couldn't the first 2 years when they had Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell down there. Quincy Ballard is the guy they've brought in to try to fix that problem from them. Double-double guy at Wichita State. Is he going to be a difference maker for Mississippi State this year?
He's enormous and he's very old, and that those two combinations
Old
are
in a good way, though. Not old like me in a bad way.
that's right. Fifth year senior, 6 year senior. He's been around the block a little bit. I'm with you. I felt like Jans was kind of over-indexing too because he knew the interior defense was a problem, and so then they were giving up more open threes than ever before because they were trying to swarm the ball and force turnovers. Like this year, I just think they're going to be more sound. Ballard, with how big he is, and he plays a lot of deeper drop coverage. I think that's going to be the plan for Mississippi State. Stay out of rotation, limit open threes, force inefficient 2-point jumpers, and rebound and run. And that's Ballard is a really, really high level rebounder. I don't think he's certainly not as skilled as Keyshawn Murphy offensively, and he's not
Right.
going to do some of the cool behind the back, between the legs type of moves. But I do think he can be a very steadying force, and it's going to change the complexion of their defense with him at the five. And they certainly need Achora Achor to be really good as well. And if Achora Achor can be a big bounce back candidate as well at the four, that front line is big, athletic, really good on the glass. Like that, you can start to see the vision where Mississippi State's interior defense goes from a weakness last year to a strength in this season.
And then the other question State's had since he arrived on campus is trying to pair Hubbard with another guy there in the backcourt. Have they done it with Jaden Epps? Can he be the guy who, sort of the Robin to Hubbard's Batman there?
Epps is a weird case study for me. Sometimes he'll drive you nuts and sometimes you'll love him because the shot making that he has is he's just wired to score. Like that's just kind of his deal. My concern is that when up Hubbard and Epps are on the floor together, it's like two guys that are both wired to score and it kind of falls into like a your turn, my turn. Like we're not able to make each other better. We're not running sets that like get both of our best players involved. The guy I like is Jabari McGee a lot too. He really like connect piece at UAB last year, played with a really, really good player at Yaxel Lendeborg. So when you play with a star at one level, it makes me feel comfortable that, hey, you can probably learn how to play off of Josh Hubbard a little bit as well. Put a lot of pressure on the rim, can obviously make threes off the bounce and off the catch. It's a nice player, really nice player. So if Epps doesn't work out, I could see McGee starting to work his way in because, again, like if you fall into your turn, my turn offense in this league, that's a recipe to lose ball games quickly.
One last player to talk about, and a guy who I think they're counting on to have a high ceiling, but he hasn't done it quite yet, is Amir Ali from Arizona State. What do you think of him?
Tall, long, athletic, could really shoot the three. As Arizona State was a disaster last year.
They
And so,
were.
like, it was after me, you come first offense at Arizona State. Very little ball movement, very little sets run. It felt like he was a little bit of a deer out of water, and he somehow thrived in the chaos. I think more structure will help him this year. And I think if he can be all in on like acing this defensive scheme, he could be one of their. I think Sean Jones is probably their best perimeter defender, but I think you could see Ali really help their perimeter defense as well with just his length and activity levels. And when you're 6'8" and you can shoot from three like that, and then you add a little defense, that's a pretty nice player. And I think he can be a guy that certainly helps this group, whether that's as a starter or coming off the bench. And if he can also add a little bit of attacking long closeouts, because Hubbard's going to attract so much attention. There's a pathway for him to score 8, 9, 10 points a game here and be a little bit more like consistent and solid than some of the wings last year for Mississippi State, where it's like, are we getting the great Riley Kugel game or is he killing us this game? Or like, is RJ Melendez shooting the corner three off the top of the backboard or is he like going to actually help us? So it's like, I think some more consistency from Achora Achor or from Amir Ali could really, really, do wonders for this offense.
What's the ceiling for this Mississippi State team this year? Can they be a top half of the SEC? Can they be a 4 or 5 seed when we get to Selection Sunday?
I think they can finish in the top half of the league. I think that's certainly in the range of outcome just because they have more of an identity than other teams do. Other teams are trying to figure it out. Like I think Mississippi State knows what we are and what we're really good at. And I do feel like the kind of the reversion back to how they played a couple years ago can help their floor be a little bit higher because the shooting in this league has gotten better and better over the years. Teams are making more threes. Like giving up open threes in this league is just kind of a recipe for disaster at sometimes. And I think that their ability to be a little bit more sound defensively certainly does give them a chance. Because if you're sound defensively and you have a superstar guard, that kind of gives you a little bit of a leg up. I think there is a world where they finish in the top half of of the SEC. I think I had them eighth in my preseason SEC power rankings. That's kind of where I stick with them. For some reason, Chris Jans and loves being in those 8-9 games in the NCAA tournament, and this feels like a team that could finish in the 8-9 game in the NCAA tournament.
One last question. Yeah, State opens the season against North Alabama on November 5th, but that November 10th game, a neutral site game with Iowa State, is that a really good litmus test of what this team's going to be? State has found a way in each of Chris Jans' years to win a big non-conference game. They beat Marquette his first year. Last year, they dominated Pitt in the ACC Challenge. Is this going to be another one of those games for State?
I think they can win that game. I'm a little lower on Iowa State this year than compared to consensus. People really like them as a top 10 team. I have them closer to 20 than 10. This is a group that Taman Lipsey is their star point guard. He's been banged up all offseason. So like he's out right now for 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if he's back for that game yet. And that could be a situation where if they get that win on Selection Sunday, no one on the committee is going to realize that Taman Lipsey was banged up or not playing in that game. It will certainly could be something that ages really well. That's a group that they're going to play defense. You know that they have a really good big three coming back with Lipsey, Milan Momcilovic, and Josh Jefferson. But I have some serious questions about their supporting cast. That's a game that Mississippi State could certainly win. Like they will not be favored, but they can certainly win that basketball game.
I can't wait for tip-off. It's going to be another great year of college basketball, and with Mississippi State being in the mix, it makes it very exciting here in Starkville. Isaac Trotter, you know you will be back on this podcast over the next few months. We appreciate you joining us, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Pretty simple when we look at basketball. The goals are simple this year. Top half of the SEC. Finish above 500 in the SEC. Higher, he made the comment about Jans always ends up in these 8-9 games. Finish above that, 6, 7, 5, if you can get there. This is an SEC that's going to take a step back. It's not going to be as good as it was a year ago. Mississippi State, having a guy like Josh Hubbard, I think, goes a long way. A guy you can rely on for points, and then it's just about the pieces around him. I talked myself into maybe it's just because I just talked myself into Jans. I like Jans. I think he's a really good coach. But, man, I'm excited about this basketball team. I think they've got the right mix of the Jan style defensive players, but guys who can put some more points on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that it's a very deep team. This is probably one of his deeper teams. Guys that are capable of coming off the bench and giving you some really good minutes. I think there's a question about their low post presence when Quincy Ballard's not on the floor. I think guard play is going to be really good this year. Jaden Epps, by the way, according to Paul Jones on our message board, I think he's been at the hump talking to players. And they sent Jaden Epps in there to talk, which is probably a good sign. I don't think if he was seriously injured, that he would be up there talking. So that looks like nothing to be totally concerned about. He got hurt against Houston, what seemed like a head injury. So hopefully there's nothing wrong there. With those two, Josh Hubbard and Jaden Epps in the backcourt, I think that's a very strong tandem that not enough people are talking about. And then Jabari McGee feels like a guy that could be someone that has a huge season that a lot of people outside of Mississippi State aren't talking about. Really excited to see Amir Ali.
It's funny you say that because that's who Isaac was really high on, is McGee.
Yeah, and that, from a 3-point shooting aspect, that's going to be a guy that they turn to a lot there. And I think players that have been here too should take a step forward. Sean Jones should be better this year. I think Delquan Warren's going to have a much better season this year. And, we'll see those freshmen look really exciting too. This could be the best freshman class he's had as far as impact in year one. And that's a big key, getting more players to come off the bench and spell the guys that are getting most of the minutes. It's not a bad thing. So I think it's going to be a deeper team. Guys are going to have to adjust to their roles. It needs to be a team that's really bought in for this to be a potentially really good year. I don't know if we saw all that buy-in from that team last year. There were some guys that were a little more for themselves at times, and it showed. And I think he was fighting that all year. They didn't play Chris Jans basketball last year. That's what they need. They need that this year. You need that happy medium between that dentist, pulling a tooth defense, and also guys that can knock down shots and score points. That's what you're looking for, and that's the sweet spot that we've been looking for Chris Jans' team since he got here. They've had some really, really good defenses. They've had that couldn't shoot, couldn't score. Then they've had some teams that were not very good on defense that could score at times, but were kind of sporadic. You need that happy medium. It doesn't have to be a team that's scoring 80 something a game, but can they knock down a big shot? Can they not have an 0 for 12 stretch or something like that? That's what you're looking for this year.
Yeah, I think if you could combine Jans's year one defense with his year three offense, they might be hanging a national title banner at Mississippi State. So it is about finding that balance. And I think that was the focus this year in the portal. When we talked to him a few weeks ago, he talked about that. About, they basically they skewed too hard towards offense and didn't have the defensive guys. Hopefully this year they have a little bit more of that. We are, I guess as we sit here today, Robbie, we're 1 week away from tip-off on a Wednesday, November 5th, 8 o'clock tip against North Alabama at the Humphrey Coliseum, the start of the 25-26 season. We'll do a lot more basketball in the starting next week for sure. All right, tomorrow's show, 3 P's. Preview, playmakers, predictions for Mississippi State, Arkansas, plus our interview with Jackson Fuller, who covers the Hogs for the Southwest Times Record. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.